Welcome to National Media Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 8, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. We also have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Right here in the Stop Meeting Room on Wednesdays. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also consider taking our 90-hour court access and the common law course, so you can find the link on the front page and in the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to do some scripture reading before we get started. We're going to be reading, I think it's Mark chapter 4. Yep, we're going to be reading Mark chapter 4 tonight. Let me see if I have my... I didn't set things up yet. Hang on a second. Okay. Take it a couple of seconds here. I didn't set up the recording. I think I found something here. Okay. Okay, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Okay, Jen, do we have any announcements or some questions tonight? Jen, you here?
Yeah, we do, John. Let me pull up the comments first. We've been talking the last couple weeks about the upcoming Nevada. Come on. Where are you hiding?
Probably up on the cloud.
No, I don't use a cloud, John. I prefer rain.
Yeah.
Okay.
You may think you don't use the cloud.
Yeah. The first one we've been talking about is the Red Pill Expo. And that is coming up on July 11th and 12th, 26. And reminder, it is free to live stream, but you need to go and sign up to be able to get on. It's 2 days of solid information. You can download the entire thing on your live stream, or if you don't have time to sit in and watch it as it's going and partake of it, you have 30 days after to listen to it, copy it, whatever you'd like to do to it. Now, there is another one come up, and it's going to be a little earlier. It's the Reawaken Reunion with General Flynn and Clay Clark. And that's going to be June 19th and 20th. It's called the Reawaken Reunion, The Remnant Rising, Resist the Reset. It's going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's at a church there, the Sheraton Church. It's on 7901 East 41st Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there is a clicker in the newsletter to take you to making reservations. There is a charge for that one. It is what we would call negotiable. They start out with $250 if you're just walking in. If you're a veteran, I think it's half of that, or if you're a student in various and sundry other things. And they'll go through a list of questions with you to decide what's the cheapest that you can get in for. It's interesting to me that the last 24 Reawakened reunions were completely sold out. No, I went to one, and John and Gerard did as well. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. And I found it rather interesting. What probably was as interesting as the message was the people that were there. And they were from all walks of life and so on. I found it to be a very interesting experience, and I would recommend it to anybody if they're in the Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma area. And I guess from there we'll go to questions.
Okay.
I got a lot of questions for Sheriff Dar when you announced that, John, and
I was going to ask you, how many questions do we have for Sheriff Dar?
Well, I think we have about 2 to 3 pages of them so far.
Okay, and if anybody else wants to put in for a question, we're going to have an open mic on that day, and we may give Sheriff Dar the entire programming night, with the exception of just introduction, Bible reading, and see what questions have come in other than for Sheriff Dar. And right now I've been talking with John out of Michigan there, and I don't have any real good experience interviewing people. So I was talking with John, and John said that he might do it, and he's going to be talking with, he knows Sheriff Tari lives in close by, I guess. And, we'll see what we can set up and, make a plan. But hopefully it's going to be soon. Maybe next week we'll make an announcement, might be ready for that. So, maybe you can get a copy of all those questions to me, Jan, and then I'll get a copy of that to John, and anything else that comes in. Anybody wants to add some questions to that list, you can send them to, what were we doing, at mail or questions? I guess questions, right?
Questions, we're back to, that's the ones I've been getting recently anyway.
All right, so you can send your questions for Dar, Sheriff Dar, to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. And in the subject matter, just put question for Sheriff Dar. Sheriff Dar is, I'm convinced, is probably the most knowledgeable sheriff concerning the common law, concerning how things should be. And so he's the most constitutional sheriff, I think, out there. But anyway, we'll see where we go with that as far as questions going. But it will be a live program, and we will also allow people to ask questions over, live also. Okay, let's see what questions we have for tonight, Jan.
Okay, we really only have one here, and it is, pay careful attention when I read it, John, okay? Do the problems associated with refusal to acknowledge fraud, when it is fraud, not equity, include the sheriff taking evidence of fraud to a judge instead of lawfully moving the cause of action to the local grand jury?
Read that again. I'm not sure.
I will be happy to.
About equity, though, what that is coming to play. Equity identifies with legislative law. But go ahead.
Okay. Do the problems associated with refusal to acknowledge fraud when it is fraud, not equity, include the sheriff taking evidence of fraud to a judge instead of lawfully moving the cause of action to the local grand jury?
Well, if sheriff has if they've accumulated any kind of information concerning fraud, and they think that it should go to a grand jury, they shouldn't bother talking to a judge. It's none of the judge's business unless he's involved in the case somehow. Once it comes to play, sheriff does not need permission from a judge to bring anything to a grand jury. Unfortunately, sheriffs don't know that. At least most sheriffs don't know that. And it's not the norm, so it's not that they have any experience that they do things that way. So it is a problem. I mean, we do have our campaign for constitutional sheriffs going, asking people to get the book to their sheriff, that we put together. which is government by consent. And in that book, which is pretty cheap, by the way, you know, we've really made it as cheap as possible. Let me just move this out of the way, just to go real quickly. On the welcome page, if you come to the welcome page, you'll come and you'll see books by John Duresh. And the book that is probably best, there are two books here for the sheriff. I mean, a really deep deep knowledge to give to the sheriff is this book, Government by Consent. As a matter of fact, Sheriff Darr had read the book, and he had given us, he's written some, you know, we have a copy of his, you know, suggestion concerning Government by Consent that every sheriff should read it. So anyway, it's a good book, and it's got a lot of information for a sheriff, a pretty in-depth chapter on the sheriff, the power and the authority of the sheriff, the history of the sheriff. So that's definitely a book that everyone should get to their sheriff. So you can get that copy of that book under our welcome tab. Just click on Books by John Duresh. And if you click on the book details and to order the book, you'll go to Amazon and you'll be able to look and get a lot of information, you know, an introduction to the book, and you can see the table of contents, all the different things we cover in the book, and you can read a couple. I think they let you to read a couple of pages, read a sample. So anyway, extremely important book that people should be getting out to their sheriff. And there is another one that might be something for them to have as a pocket handbook, and it's the County Sheriff Common Law Handbook right here. Again, if you click on that handbook, you'll get the information. It's only $7 for this book, and you should get it to your sheriff. Look at it. If we don't educate our sheriffs, then they're not going to know the law. So it's our job to make sure that our sheriffs are fully informed. Is that the only question we have?
Yeah, that's the only one for tonight, John.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we got before we look into some other things here. Okay. Again, you know, anybody's got any questions for Sheriff Darr, you'd want to ask a question, and we will... We'll not only announce it next week, hopefully we'll announce. I'll talk with John in Michigan about this, and he'll talk with Sheriff Darr. Hopefully we'll have a date set, and we'll know that next week. We'll let everybody know next week what that date is. And then we'll send out also an email probably next week sometime to let everybody know and those who aren't here in tonight's meeting so that they would know when. Before we get started, and by the way, we have the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue, we do have, I think, a couple of people already in the queue. If anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, it's a *6 and a 1. And if you're on an app or a browser, should be a button to enter into the queue. So we'll get to the questions in a couple of minutes. I want to, last week we talked, I made mention and made the announcement that I wrote another book, and we published it last weekend. It did become available. I think it became available last Monday. It wouldn't have been last Monday. Probably last Tuesday or Wednesday, because I think at the time when I announced it last Monday, I had just put it up over the weekend. But they did publish it quite quickly. It's up on Amazon. And again, the same place. You can get that book by going under the Welcome tab on nationallibertyalliance.org. Come down to Books by John Duresh. Let's see, they're asking me to sign in. But anyway, come down to the Books by John Duresh, and it's the second book. And I wrote this book. It's Make America a Republic Again. And the purpose of this book is to talk to individuals very specifically, especially people who, you know, don't know anything about National Liberty Alliance, or people that are new to National Liberty Alliance, or even people that are members of National Liberty Alliance, for a book that is very specific and focused on how we have government by consent and how we could make America a republic again. So I'm just going to talk about that book, read the details on that book. It's up on Amazon, and that book is, 1895, I guess. okay, maybe it's 1995. Oh, that's 5% off. I don't know if that's for everyone else that goes up there, but right now there's 5% off on that book. Okay, it's 238 pages. It's a soft, you know, paperback. And let me think of the measurement. I think it's like, I think it's 6.5 or something like that. Maybe, I think it's 8.5 by 5.5, something like that. But in any event, it's a pretty in-depth book to teach people how they can help save the Republic by having government by consent. People don't know or understand their powers and their authorities. They don't know that they actually are the lawmakers. They don't know the power authority they have actually in a court, and particularly as a grand juror or as a or in a petit jury, a trial jury. They think that the only thing that they can do is really to vote, and some people might realize that it's important to respond when you get a request to become, to get onto a grand jury or even being chosen for a trial jury. So let me just read this. This is what I put together as an introduction to the book. And hopefully, again, this book, I think everybody should have a copy of this book. In any event, the intentions of this book is to expose and inform the people of the enemy of liberty that have abrogated our natural law republic, while offering the only remedies available to restore it. Thomas Jefferson said, "Once a republic is corrupted, there is no possibility of remedying any of the growing evils but by removing the corruption and restoring its lost principles. Every other correction is either useless or a new evil." While it is true that the Trump administration is routing out these subverts and restoring our government, but once accomplished, the people need to maintain it. The problem is the people don't know how to have government by consent. This book is the beginning of that journey to bring us back on the path of liberty and justice for all. Our founders were clear in that natural law republic requires the people to become educated in the science of government, founded on natural law, or perish. For if we the people neglect to be properly educated and exercise our inalienable rights of government by consent, then unprincipled men will continue to enslave us. And unless you have the experience, the corruption in the de facto federal and state courts, most people wouldn't know how far America has been covertly removed from our Constitution. In 1934, the 73rd Congress, acting outside of their authority, as we the people ordained in Article 1, Section 8, in an act of sedition, passed the Rules Enabling Act, perpetrated by Congress, the American Bar Association, the U.S. Supreme Court, and the federal judiciary, which have poisoned every attorney and every court in America by replacing law and equity with civil law in 1938. This single treasonous act abrogated the courts of law and equity, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and its capstone Bill of Rights. Subsequently, together, said perpetrators did conspire and did overthrow the government of the United States of America by abrogating the people's courts of justice, turning them into a den of thieves. Whereas the American Bar Association, being the chief orchestrator, advocates, abets, advises, and teaches the duty, necessity, and desirability of abrogating the law of the land. Through an outcome-based education, esquires, which are bar attorneys, are unwittingly taught and convinced that we are under the Roman law and a democracy fashioned under Rome, and thereby unwittingly are transformed into the minions of the New World Order. Their belief in what they have been taught is so strongly embedded into their minds that they are closed-minded to the truth being that we are a natural law constitutional republic fashioned under Israel and the Bible, and that we the people, being sovereign, ordained the law, whereas over time they covertly changed our republic in the minds of the people to a democracy and our courts from common law courts to chancery courts, also known as civil law courts. The damages alone done to the people are our judicial and political system by the aforesaid acts of the 73rd Congress and the 1938 U.S. Supreme Court is incalculable, corrupting every federal, state, county, city, town, and village governments. This repugnant, subversive act threaded the United States Constitution, the law of the land, all state constitution, the laws of nature and of nature's God, replacing our courts of justice with chancery courts under civil law, also known as Babylonian law. America is a common law republic. Our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. If we don't know the law, you cannot know or defend liberty. Samuel Adams said, if ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will be in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. This book is the beginning of producing experienced patriots necessary to make our republic great again, because only the people can save the republic. The question is, will you? All right, well, anyway, that's the introduction to the book. Hopefully people will consider going out and buying the book and passing this information on to other people who, you know, people know other patriots who may be not aware of us and what we're doing. This is a good introduction to what we're doing because it lays out the plan of how we are going to save this republic. And only the people can do it. You know, President Trump and his administration can set the stage. They can bring a lot of things together. I've heard just recently talk from his administration that a lot of these judges have got to go. And that is the major focus of our last paper, a presentment to the United States Supreme Court, and also to we copied a copy of that to President Trump, and also to many of his people in his administration. Unfortunately today, and we did make it clear that it's a crime for anyone to remove papers from a court. Once it's filed, they have to proceed with the process. They can't make a decision to discard it. And they have done that on a couple occasions. You know, the grand jury last time we met concerning these things and talked about the papers and filing the papers that we were filing, we agreed that anybody that interferes or returns our papers, mutilates our papers, hide our papers, or anything of that nature, that they would be deserving of a grand jury indictment. I did receive the papers back today with a letter. As a matter of fact, I just opened it a few minutes ago. I got it earlier today. I didn't have an opportunity to really look at it, but they did send a letter. I think I'll talk more about that next week after I read the letter and go through things. We're going to do an indictment on the individual. Might be on two individuals. And we'll copy the indictment to President Trump and, again, all the individuals that we've been copying in his administration. So, again, you know, these books that we're selling, which we don't sell that many because we're up on, Amazon. We're not printed in bookstores. If my books were in print in the bookstores, we'd be making a lot of money on it, I believe. The people who have been buying the books, we got a lot of good reviews on this on the books that I've written. And, considering the reviews, again, if we were in the bookstores, I think, we'd really make a lot of money on it. But right now, all of the proceeds coming in from my books that I've written, and I've written, I think, 15 books altogether, I don't remember, 14 or 15. But all of the anything that comes in from the books at this point goes in to really support National Liberty Alliance. So it's another way to support the work that we're doing is by buying these books. And again, we don't make a lot of money on it. This particular book, Make America a Republic Again, I think it's we're making $8 on it. Government by Consent, I think we're making $10 a book. Most of the other books is maybe $2 here or there. Because they're smaller books, and again, we do everything we can to keep these books as cheap as possible. You know, the Government by Consent book is a hardcover book. It's a huge book. It max out at 550-some-odd pages, which is the maximum on that book, 8.5 by 11. So it's a big book, thick book, and a hardcover book. And particularly I made it hardcover because it's a book that people should refer back to often. It's a book that people should be studying, like a textbook, as if you were going to school. So I wanted to be durable, and I'm very impressed with the papers. My first time I published the book, I did go through a publishing house, and it cost me dearly to do that, a lot of money to get it through the process. But they put out a soft cover book, and I've got a few copies laying around here right now, but. You know, the paperback type books, they don't last long if you're going to be spending time reading and learning. And that's why I moved over to the hardcover on this particular book. Again, going through a publisher, they really haven't gotten my book into the bookstore either. And they promise you a lot. It costs a lot of money. It took me, a year and a half to get the book published. I mean, I could put together a book and go up and publish it up on Amazon, and within 2 days it's available for purchase. So that's a good upside on the one hand. The downside is trying to get people's attention concerning those books. And again, that's up to the people here with National Liberty Alliance that are aware of what we're doing and understand the importance of what we're doing and how we need to get people involved. We need people to get educated. We need people to get involved on the grassroots level in county committees of safety. We need people to educate themselves in the political and judicial processes, and understanding how we can take back our schools, how we can control local government, the powers and the authorities of the people, the fact that we are the lawmakers. These two books, again, really lay out a lot of things that empower people. And again, you know, we don't get that much money from people. We are supported by membership, and a lot of people that do give it maybe $5 or $10 a month, and some people give more than that, but mostly it's $5 or $10 a month. And if we could have more people, you know, we've got over 10,000 members. If 10,000 members were to give $5 a month, I mean, that'd be a huge amount of money. We'd be able to go professional then, and that's what we need. We need to go professional. And the only way we're going to go professional is by getting funded somewhere. Either someone with deep pockets recognizes the work we're doing and realizes and has the funding, the money to be able to give us a huge amount of money to really get some really, big things done. You know, we really also would like to do some textbooks for schools, give a proper education from K through 12. Every child, when they come out of school, they should know how to go into a court and take care of their own business, how to defend themselves, how to write papers, how the court system works, and the different constitutions, you know, as far as state constitutions are concerned, and, of course, the U.S. Constitution. And the fact that that they were born into a nation or under a nation that gives them liberty. And it's up to us to maintain that liberty. And you can't maintain that liberty if you don't know what liberty really is, if you don't know the Constitution. You know, when they break the law and they break the Constitution and go off and do whatever the heck they want to do, and I tell you, I'm convinced that maybe 90% or more of what Congress does is unlawful. They just put a lot of BS out there, and people have no clue because they don't know the Constitution. They don't know their limitations. You know, the legislators on the federal level, you know, U.S. legislators, okay, they only have 18 powers. That's all we gave them, 18 powers, which we were very clear on what they can write law about. And if we didn't give them the authority, the power to write a particular law on a certain area or situation, then they don't have it. You know, we the people are the lawmakers. We spoke, you know, about this quite a bit last week. You know, we ordained, we established the Constitution for them. were the ones who decide whether a court case can go forward or not on a criminal consideration. Would the people who are in a jury, a trial jury, decide both the facts and the law, the innocence or guilt, and the proper punishment, or really with an eye on restitution of the injured individual. But people don't know that. They robbed us of all those things that I just spoke about, and people have no clue that these are their powers, their authorities. And they break the law all day long, and the people have no clue. And we're led as sheep to the slaughter. It's that simple, because we lack the knowledge. So, anyway, the other way we can go professional is if we hit critical mass. You know, we get a huge number of people responding, 100,000. You know, we get a lot of people, let's say 200,000 people responding to what we're doing here, and some of them, a small percentage will get involved, but of let's say a couple of 100,000 people, if we were to get a membership of that level, you know, we would have a considerable amount of people involved that really would be doing what they need to be doing, educating themselves, taking back the schools, taking back their local government, requiring obedience to the Constitution, putting individuals into power and authority that know the Constitution themselves, require a testing on the Constitution before we, you know, back them up and vote for them. We need to take control of the political process, which is electing people. You know, we see what's going on in California right now. And I'm not sure how many days it's been. It's been a lot of days, and they still don't know who won what. They know what the end results are because obviously they're cheating. but think about what they're doing. They're counting the votes in secret. They have collected all the votes throughout the county to bring it in to one place and to be counted by a group of individuals, I guess, that work for the government. I don't know who those people are. And they do it in secret. The process and the procedure, and people don't know, they don't realize and understand. You know, the process and the procedure of voting is that the Republicans, because there's two parties, the Republican, there should be a Republican and Democrat at every single election district. And for the counting of the votes, it should be in public. And one Republican, one Democrat. Should sign a certification that the vote count was true. Also, the state usually, they do, at least here in New York and most states, they'll hire individuals, local individuals, for the sole purpose of doing this, to getting the counting of the votes together, certifying the votes. But it has to be done by numerous people, not just some people that is hired, but also the people who are involved politically and are involved in putting people onto the ballots and to make sure that the count is correct. But when the count is done in a particular election district, you know, for instance, where I live in my town, there's three different places that people go to vote, three different districts, I guess you'd call it. But even inside of those voting poll areas, there's two or three or four districts. So the point is, if you get 8 or 10 districts in a town, they count the vote, okay? And then they send the certification to some place in the state, depending on what kind of a voting it is, if it's local or if it's also federal and so on. But everything is sent upline. It's sent to the county, then from the county to the state, and if necessary, from the state up to the federal. But the thing is that there's a lot of people involved, there's a lot of witnesses, it's done in the open. But California is doing it privately. But even in a lot of the towns and different places and different election districts, they're still counting them privately because it's a small group of people. Everything's calculated in the machines that they have. And then those numbers which are broken up are then taken and certified to be sent up the line. And since it's being done privately, it can be manipulated. And I do believe here in New York, it's always manipulated. you know, I can't believe that people continue to put governors into power and authority here in New York, that that they just hate the people. They just despise the people. They do nothing for the people. And there's a lot of corruption going on. It's always a Democrat, and it's insane. But in any event, we deserve what we get. If we don't pay attention, if we're not involved, if we're not doing our duty, and we're not really taking control of the political and the judicial process, if we're not taking control of those two things, and people don't know how to take control of those things, they're in the books. Therein is the reason for these books. But if they're not going to do that, then we deserve what we get, which is just more corruption, more pain, and more taxes, and more inflation, and generally nothing but destruction. All right, anyway, hopefully people will get more involved, and again, by buying these books, you're supporting our work. And, you know, I we have to send all of these papers out, and that costs money, okay? So we have to serve these things all. We're going to serve an indictment. We're going to file it. We're going to serve it to the Supreme Court to let them be known, a copy of it. But it's going to be filed with the Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General. And, of course, President Trump and his administration will get copies of that. We've been copying them all along. And since our last paperwork, there is heavy conversation going on talking about judges have got to go. And that's what we've been saying and telling this administration for a long time. And we don't know whether they were listening to us. Maybe they understood this knowledge and they're just waiting for the right time. But whatever it is, it's irrelevant. The bottom line is they're thinking that way now. At least they're exposing their thoughts right now. So we need to take advantage of the momentum. We need to keep pushing. We need to take back our government, take back our republic. All right, with that, I guess we'll go to Q&A. Okay, we've got two people in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on the phone. And should be a button there if you're on an app or browser. We'll take our first question or person here. Let's see, Joe from California. You're muted. You got the mic. Joe from California.
How does a victim of fraud lawfully prosecute a suspected fraud speedily, in fact, without being misled by a fraud, producing fraud at the crime scene, step by step, by law?
Well, look, here's the problem. You probably have an ignorant sheriff. I don't know. Well, you're California, just like New York. Most of them are all corrupt. The problem is you have ignorant sheriffs. You got some corrupt sheriffs. And they're as ignorant as the people are to the law. They refer to maybe the county attorney for advice when they shouldn't be doing that. They should know the law on their own. They shouldn't be involved in statutory processes. You know, they shouldn't be involved in like traffic courts or writing tickets or anything of that nature. They should be rejecting every single person that the town, village, let me think, village, town, and most cities, the courts, when they send people to jail from their courts, the sheriff, if they were educated, they wouldn't even receive them. They'd set them free. As soon as they come in, they'd set them free because there's no due process in those courts. And nobody could be placed in jail without due process. But the proper way to deal with fraud in a situation is to gather the evidence you have, the information you have, and give it to the sheriff. And the sheriff should then take that information and deal with a grand jury if they think there's enough evidence. But if there's enough evidence that they feel, oh, I better take a better look at this and do some more investigation to get the necessary amount of evidence I think I need in order to get an indictment, then that's their job. That's what they should be doing. So it always should go to the sheriff. Again, the problem is the sheriff doesn't know. They'll talk to a judge, they'll talk to the county attorney, And they will maintain the status quo and protect whatever interest they have, and will reject it and not permit it to go forward. But if I was a sheriff in the county I lived in, I would never think about going to talk to an attorney or talk to a judge. I would go down to the clerk, and I would let it be known. I'd find out when the next jury is being called together, or if there is one right now active. And if there is, I want to be on the list. I've got a case I want to bring before them. The clerk is going to try to refer you to, you know, the sheriff, to some judge, because that's what they've been informed to do. And but the judge, the sheriff has to, you know, let it be known that it doesn't matter what another judge says or does. Either you put me onto the list right now, or I'm going to arrest you, and whoever else, some other clerk can come up, and then they can put me on the list, because I'm coming in and I'm going to talk to the jury and produce my case to the jury. Now, what they have done also, in order for a grand jury's indictment to be valid, they require an attorney's signature on it, okay? And nowhere in law does that require. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with us, we the people. Again, they get away with all this stuff because we're ignorant of the law, because the people have no clue on what the law actually is, what powers and authorities they have. Sheriffs don't know what powers and authorities they have. They just don't understand what their job is. I see sheriffs giving out tickets. Shame on them. They should have nothing to do with statutory processes. They're with the law, not with the statutes. So anyway, that's pretty much my answer to you, Joe.
Okay, well, I'm the same Joe that was in California as lead coordinator for a year doing what I can, and the same one that was back here and talking to you, and you didn't want to hear what I had to say, so you said come back, and maybe you'll listen this time.
What was it I didn't want to understand, listen to, or whatever? I don't know. I don't reject anybody. I listen to anybody. But what is it you were talking about?
Step by step. The question was, how does a victim of fraud lawfully prosecute a suspected fraud? Okay, so
well,
step
I
by
step. Had to go to the sheriff. Bring your evidence to the sheriff. The sheriff.
Okay.
So you have to educate the sheriff, though. See, that's the other part of the problem. I know an individual. Well, I don't know them personally, but we were working with them a little bit, and for 2 years they were trying to get to a grand jury, and they were trying every which way they could. And at some point, this person. I know two individuals like this. One was a police officer, I think a lieutenant or something, and the other person, I don't remember. But in any event, it ended up one of these individuals, they arrested him and charged him, and he got found guilty and went to jail for a short period of time for, what's the word they use, stalking the grand jury, because he was trying to get information to a grand jury. It's an unalienable right for us to have access to the grand jury. The proper way is to go through the sheriff. But if we want to go talk to the grand jury, we would put our desire also to the sheriff, who should be taking it to the grand jury, and let it be known we'd like to talk. I'd like to talk to the grand jury too concerning this situation or whatever the case may be. You have an unalienable right to do that. People don't know that either, do they? We're the lawmakers. We make the decision in all these things, okay? But anyway, going back to what you mentioned, I don't recall ever rejecting answering anybody on anything or responding to anything that you had mentioned. But again, I just gave the only process I know to deal with a fraud.
Yeah, well, if I can speak, I had recorded, so you can listen to it back, and I had also written on the National Liberty Alliance webpage pages and pages and pages of data that nobody responded to and now is not on the forum any longer. And in California, we almost had a sheriff in one of the counties almost getting ready to convene a grand jury and get things done. And right after that, I was asked to leave by the people in California, and that's what ended my tenure for National Liberty Alliance.
What people in California required that? And what forum was this removed from? What are you talking about?
National Liberty Alliance Forum. I had set up on the National Liberty Alliance Forum a forum topic or a forum area for every single California county, and I was trying to get people to populate it with coordinators that were discussing things on that forum to allow other California counties to see what is happening and trying to get a competition going so that all of the counties were in competition to get the first case that could be done, which should be a slam dunk. But as you have rightfully said so many times, but step by step, with your answer you just said, if I am a victim of fraud and I want to lawfully prosecute a suspected fraud, and I go step by step, and my first step is to go to the sheriff, and the sheriff has no clue, what then is the next step?
Well, the only step that's available is educating your sheriff. You see, this is where the Committee of Safety comes in, and we've laid this out in a, you know, step-by-step program, and we've laid it out in this book, Make America a Republic Again, that you have to educate your sheriff. And we teach people exactly how to do that. It does take time, okay? But once you get a committee of safety going, you may be 12 people, 10 people, whatever the case may be, and you're starting the process, you go down and you talk with the sheriff. You give him a copy of the book, definitely a handbook for the sheriff, but the most important book, really, so he gets an understanding of everything that we're talking about here, even the committees of safety, the power and the authority of the sheriff, the history of the sheriff, what the committees of safety are doing, what their powers and authorities are, you know, the whole system, how things work politically and judicially, and that's covered in the book Government by Consent. So you need to get that book to that sheriff. And then you have to give them time to read it. And you let your first meeting with the sheriff, you know, you have 10 people or so go down together, you introduce yourself, you do your paperwork, you get your seal, and you give them the information of who you are as a jury and as a committee of safety. You should have a resolution put together, a charter, a seal. It should be bounded, and it should be given to the sheriff at the first visit, along with the books. Okay, at least the one book, the most important book, is Government by Consent. You give them a copy of that, and then you make an appointment with them and say, look, we'd like you to come down. We'd like to talk with you, let's say, in the next 45 to 60 days. That gives that individual, that sheriff, plenty of time to educate themselves. Okay, number one, gives you more time to get more people involved. Maybe you'll have 20 or 30 people. The thing is, you become constituents for them. Okay, you become someone that supports a sheriff that's going to be obedient to the law. And then you're going to quiz this sheriff. And you know what? If the sheriff isn't interested in working with you, it's very easy. Recall the sheriff. If you have 20, 30 people involved in a committee of safety in your county, you can easily recall that sheriff. Pull him out of office within 90 days and get an election going. Okay, so you want a sheriff that is educated. So these are the things that we teach. This is the process, because we're in trouble in the sense that our representatives and our sheriffs are all ignorant to the law. They themselves don't know the Constitution. You know, did they lie when they took their oath since they don't know the Constitution? Did the sheriffs lie when they took their oath because they don't know the Constitution? You know, you don't take the Constitution and say, well, let me go see the local county attorney and let him explain to me about the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or the Fifth Amendment or the Seventh Amendment. Let him explain to me the powers and the authorities that these people have. Let him explain to me how the court system works and how we're under the law, which they'll be taught that they're under civil law. They got to break away, just like the people have to break away from this. They're lost in a delusion that they've been sold. So this takes work. It takes people. And if people aren't interested in it, then we get what we deserve. We just get these people that are tyrants who will continue to destroy us, jail us, fine us, abuse us, and whatever it is that they want to do. Inflate our money, and the list goes on and on. You know how bad it is. So anyway, that's the process. It's not an overnight thing. It takes time. We got to educate people.
Okay, so what I've been doing is continuing my work despite National Liberty Alliance effectively removing me.
And you keep dogging us about this, and I have no idea what you're talking about. You have to explain to me what you're talking about. First of all, every forum that we've ever done, and this goes back, I don't know, 2013, 2012. Matter of fact, I think we even go back further than that because we may have stuff up here that when we were doing something a little different before we went nationwide. But right here, if you're looking at the page right now, you can see all of our Monday night recordings. Okay, every single recording we've had since we've started. Okay, so that's the open forum that's involved. Anything you want to know, you can go back and pull up anything you want and show me where I, did anything that was, preventing people or telling people that they can't do this or they shouldn't do that. We don't get involved with what people do on the county level creating the committees of safety unless they go rogue. We've had a couple of people going rogue and took the committees of safety in different directions, and all we did was just cut them off, and then we opened it up for other people to come in and do a committee of safety properly within their counties. And we don't want people going around teaching people about the things that they're a man on the land and they got to go out and file this or that on a judge and cause all kinds of havoc and just crazy things. They may have a little bit of right in what they're thinking, but they're only going to get themselves in trouble. They're going to get other people put in jail. We had a group down in Florida, and a whole bunch of people went to jail. The foreman of their jury was actually a foreman on another jury, okay, who went on a jury, a jury that they created, and took information, and this guy ended up going to jail, and he died in jail. Okay, we had people out that was being led by what was her name? Can't think of her name. There was someone out there that they showed up not long after we started doing what we're doing, and all of a sudden they're everywhere, and they had some funding. But a lot of people that they were leading, and they took some people from National Liberty Alliance. We cut away again. Some of these people went to jail because they went down the wrong road. We stick on the law, and we don't want people to go to jail. So unless you've done something and we've communicated that something to you that it was wrong or dangerous, and you shouldn't be doing that because people are going to get hurt by that, and then if you ignored that, denied that, or argued that, then possibly we shut you off. We have shut a couple of people off. I don't remember. Maybe Jan might remember, or someone else. Maybe two, three people, groups maybe. I know one in Florida, one out west, I forget where. As a matter of fact, two out west, I forget where. Because they took what we were teaching a different direction, and they put us in jeopardy too. And as a matter of fact, some of the problems that people have caused, if you go under our welcome tab here, and you go down to disclaimers, we put disclaimers on different places and people that were bringing us into jeopardy. I don't want to go to jail. I stick to the law. I can back up anything that we're teaching and talking about. And we don't teach people to do things that injure other people. That's a problem if they do, and we can't have that. But people just need to get educated. They need to be free and independent, so we don't want to get involved with what they're doing. Different people in different counties have different problems or situations that other counties may not have, and they have to take care of that business. But if you're going to break the law and do things that are unlawful, then we're going to cut you off. So I don't know if you're one of those people. What did you do that you think that we cut you off? What was that?
The telephone call that I had from a member in California said that the group that was in California, according to this one person, said that I was doing things that was counter to the purpose. And I was trying to explain that if the purpose is the law, then it's not counter to it. But if the purpose is, like you keep repeating, that we have to uphold the Constitution, then I try to educate people and say that if the Constitution is based on fraud, how do you reconcile, how do you remedy that? If
well, what Constitution might be created in fraud?
Well, I don't even think that it's an argument. I think that there's enough evidence to prove beyond any doubt whatsoever that the original Articles of Confederation Constitution was a federal constitution, and then the national constitution wasn't. And in order to get the national constitution to overrule...
I understand where you're coming from. There are two different schools of thought, well, actually three, really. One is what you're talking about, and another one, they claim that there is an earlier constitution, a 1987 constitution versus the, I mean, not a 1787 constitution versus a 1789 constitution, when in fact that is not true. The only difference between the two was the Bill of Rights was added, and a few other lines were added. Was a little bit of language was changed, but that's not really represented in any real constitution that I have found. As a matter of fact, I've challenged people to get me this so-called 1787 constitution, which is supposed to be different than the actual constitution we're under. I don't find any problems with the constitution we're under. It's governed by the Bill of Rights, ultimately. That's the ruler that you use to lay up, which is unalienable rights, to see if the Constitution would be valid or not valid, whatever you're looking into. So now there is this other idea that they were governed by, you know, some papers that... that they may have been governed by during the process of going through the process of war, and then after the war, Revolutionary War, then there was a period of time when they were putting the Constitution together. And but that was not sufficient enough to run the nation, and that's why we had the Federalist Papers, which is the debates, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, which also is part of the debates that gave us the Constitution that we have. So... but I'm not sure exactly what your position is on that. What paper is more valid than the Constitution that we hold today? Are you saying that there's another Constitution that we should have other than the Constitution we have?
Well, I think the law is actually much simpler, but a Constitution is just something that helps people find agreement. And the Articles of Confederation was actually 1781. And I have nothing to do with anything that you're talking about with some claim that there was a 1787 Constitution that was without the Bill of Rights. I don't even know what that is.
It doesn't exist. That's the point. There was some other argument made by other people. But these other articles you're talking from 1781, they were not sufficient for the nation. They were sufficient for the time, but there was much that they didn't have to be able to really be able to have a federal government, and that's why the debates took place and we ended up with what we have. Are you telling me that these articles are should be more supportive or more held up than the Constitution we have?
There's a whole lot that I have, and I don't want to take up your time right now. I can come back next Monday, and if you want to hear more of what I have found in my discovery process, then just look at the writing I've just done on your latest YouTube video, 2026-06-01 Law and Equity. So I've laid it out on there, and you can go back to normal business, and I'll show up next Monday.
Well, one of the maybe you can bring the information of where this whoever or whatever this problem is. I'd like to understand it more. We do everything in public. We don't hide nothing. You know, when we get questions, whatever the questions are, we read them off and deal with the questions. If people can say terrible things about us, if that's what they want, we'll defend us, National Liberty Alliance. But we do everything in the open, and we don't hide things. We don't prevent things. But if people do something that's going to put people in jail, we're definitely going to protect the people in that county by alerting those people and in removing the people who are causing that kind of a problem from the list on our directory and look for someone else to take control of the county committee of safety in that county. But you will get people who will just do things outside do crazy things sometimes. That's going to get people put in jail. And we don't want to get lost in that kind of a situation. Bring that information, because I don't know who you're talking about that said whatever they said, and you said that they said. I don't even know what you're talking about. As far as writing things on papers on our website, the conversations, I don't have time to go out and read those things. I know Jan goes out and reads some of those things, and Terry goes out and reads some of those things, and maybe there's a few other people that go out and read those things. But we don't really have enough people involved to be able to read everything that everybody puts as a comment, whether it be on our site or on YouTube or Rumble. I don't have the time to go out and read those things. I don't have the time to finish off the work that I'm doing. I'm so busy, I literally roll out of bed in the morning and I go to work and through dinner time, and I used to work to, late at night too, but I stopped that. But I work all day long, 10-hour days or whatever the case may be, and I still don't have enough time to do all the work that I need to do. I've written a lot of books, created the website, put all kinds of things together, write papers for courts, all the papers that you've seen up here on the federal court cases. All that takes time and research. And again, that's why I say we need to go professional. We need to get a group of people come in and get paid to do a job. And then we'd have people going in and reading all of these things throughout the website and on YouTube and Rumble, and we can work out a plan to respond to, different questions, different thoughts, whatever it is. But there's a lot of other things that need to be done. We just don't have enough people. It's that simple. But anyway, get your stuff together, bring up whatever you can, let's talk. We do it in the open, and we'll see once where that goes.
Sounds okay, good.
Thanks. All right, we'll take our next caller. Again, we only have two other people in this queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button. Okay, our next caller. Terry, you got the mic. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Can you one of the things that I have a problem here with the actual program here is that we used to be able to see who was on and who was speaking, and, all I know is that guy's name is Joe, but I can't see what his email is or where he's at. And so all I see is John and Terry Kior and myself, and it would be nice to go back to the way it used to be where we could see who was speaking at least, and, if he wanted to contact him, we could, or vice versa. Is that something that can be done, or is this program changed where you can't enable that anymore?
We've spoken that up under the leadership. The leadership decided not to do that. I'll bring it up to them again, and we'll see once what they want to do. We don't want to put people's emails out there unless, if you want to connect with that, that becomes a problem. And also phone numbers, because we see emails and we see phone numbers. And we don't want to share those with people, because some people don't want that shared.
Right. No, I just was asking whether that was done deliberately or not. I'm not demanding anything. And then is there a chance that you could unmute Joe? I would like Joe to call me or email me. If you want to give him my email or my phone number, if Joe wants it, I'd like to talk to Joe. Is that something you can do for me, John?
That we can do. I'm looking for him now. I think I found him. Okay, Joe, you've been unmuted. If you want to talk and give your email or information or vice versa or whatever.
Yeah, josf.kelley@hotmail.com. And I'm all over. I'm all over YouTube, all over X. And
yeah, me too.
All right.
Hey, nice to hear from you, Joe. It was I like what you had to say.
Roger.
I'm here. I want to kind of do a little, you know, say something before I get going. I heard a little frustration, some anger, and I want to make sure that I don't make anybody angry or frustrate anybody. I don't want to insult anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. The nice thing with me is you can't hurt my feelings. There's nothing you can say to me to hurt my feelings. I'm a child of God. I know who loves me, so nobody can say anything to me unless it's a threat. That's a different deal, but there's nothing that can be said to me, and if I threaten, or I mean, if I hurt somebody's feelings or I make somebody angry, I don't mean to. That's not my intention, so I just kind of wanted to do kind of a little spiel before I start talking. One of the things that I think that I don't understand is I have no idea what the Constitution is. When talk about it, when Joe talks about it, I have no idea what the Constitution is. All I know is what the truth is. And when I go to a court and it says that I'm supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, that means nothing anymore. And so this is my challenge to everybody here, not to just to you, John, just to everybody here. What is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Because they know what it is, but I'm challenging you guys here, John, Joe, you, Jan, Terry, anybody here. What is that truth? And that to me is what is the Constitution. The Constitution is just a piece of paper that we put in there, the Bill of Rights, and then we amend those rights to put in more rights, you know, due process, a fair trial. Well, those are all common sense things that Jesus Christ and our Creator gave sentient human beings. He didn't give those to dogs or bears or animals. He gave it to human beings that know what an innocent person is. We should know what a guilty person is, and we should know what is right, the law of right, and we should know what the law of wrong is. And our public servants and our bar lawyers are all operating on the laws of wrong. They're literally violating, raping, and sanctioning wrong. And that's what I wanted to say, and I want to challenge everybody here. If anybody here, that's why I want to talk to Joe. We all need to know what the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we know what the truth is, and we know what an innocent person is, we know what a crime is, we have to know what constitutes a crime. And to me, that's what the Constitution is all about. Who is innocent? What constitutes a crime? And what constitutes a person being guilty? And what constitutes a person being innocent? So my challenge to you, I don't want to rebuke anybody. I don't want to correct anybody. I don't want to be corrected. I don't want to be rebuked. I don't want to rebuke Joe. I don't want to rebuke anybody. I'm challenging you guys. What is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that everybody swears to when they go to court, including everybody in that courtroom, the judge? Every single person swears an oath to tell that truth. And what I'm saying here is if you know what the truth is, every single judge is perjuring themselves on that truth. And that's what I have to say. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just challenging everybody to discover what that truth is.
Well, you know, again, look, when people have conversations, corrections should be found from time to time within that conversation. The correction, you know, is a biblical principle. Correction is grievous to those who have forsaken the way. Of course, it's a biblical focus, but that stands also, I think, in life. You know, we are a natural law republic. It's extremely important to understand what that means, a natural law republic. We're a Christian nation founded under the Bible. We are, You know, the problem is we've gone so far away from that. The Bible used to be in school. It was removed in 1963. You know, Jesus Christ is the king of our court. You know, you go into Black's Law and you read and understand the meanings and the terms of different things. You know, the king's bench is the jury. And the question is, who is the king? Is the king a man or is he God? And in the Constitution, it became clear, because the Declaration of Independence was a covenant with God. It was a separation of powers from Britain, but and an acknowledgement to the world that we've done that, and that we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. That is the foundation of who we are as a people, which makes Jesus Christ the king of our court. Now, the king of our court, we have to know his will. Okay, now he written his laws in our hearts, so generally speaking, people generally mostly know what his will is, because they know the difference between right and wrong. Okay, but the king's bench is to represent the king. In other words, the jury is to represent truth, justice, with an eye on restitution, because justice must be served. And that doesn't mean that people go to jail. Most people don't belong in jail. They need to be out of jail, restoring the individual that they injured. You know, this government has taken control of things, and they want to put everybody in jail. And there's money involved in that, and that's part of what's probably behind all that. But nevertheless, our heritage is in the law, and our and liberty is our inheritance. Okay, but if we don't know the law, then how can we know our inheritance? How can we know what liberties we have? You know, the Bill of Rights has limited numbers of unalienable rights listed out, but there's far more than that. We have the right, first of all, not to be under any law of man. Okay, the government has no power, no authority. And again, if you knew the Constitution and you went into the Constitution, you read Article 1, you discover what powers and authorities we gave to legislators. We did not give them any power, any authority to legislate our behavior. That's God's job to legislate, so to speak, our behavior. It's his law. We're under natural law. And when you injure somebody and you create a crime, then you have to be accountable to that in a common law court. One where the king of the court is Christ, and the people who are the jury is to represent the will of the king. Okay, now courts are supposed to be ruled by the rules of common law. Now they've abrogated it. As a matter of fact, the paper that I just got back from the Supreme Court, there's a letter in there, and I just breezed through it right before tonight's program. And so I haven't really had time to sit down and digest it and really think about it. And I'm going to respond to that letter with an indictment. You know, that letter referred to the fact that they don't have to deal with this because it's against their rules. Now, rules are not law to begin with. And they're the rules. They're the rules of men, not the rules of natural law. You know, the rules of natural law is pure. Basically, it's common sense with an eye on justice. That's all it is. And everybody knows right from wrong because God said he wrote it into the hearts of men. So we know. And so, you know, rules of common law and common law ultimately is just, you know, lists line upon line, even precept upon precept, just like the Bible. It's just a list of things that are maxims, truths that cannot be denied. What is right and what is wrong? What is just and what is unjust? So one of the errors you make, and I'd like to offer you a correction, is that you need to sit down and go through the Constitution. We do the best job we can. In the book, The Government by the Consent, we talk about the Constitution in there. We lay out the powers and the authorities.
Remember, you're the one that said last week, I don't...
You are asking him what the Constitution. Joe's asking you what the Constitution is. I don't know what the Constitution is, but I do know the laws of right.
I do know
it. Can I finish, John?
Yeah.
I do know what the truth is, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is. So help me God. If we're swearing to it and we don't know what it is, and if you don't know what it is, that's fine. I'm just challenging everybody here. I can tell you what it is, but you have to hear what God has to say to us about what that truth is. If we're swearing an oath, and that's exactly what everybody does when they go into a court of God's law, we're swearing an oath to that truth. And if we don't know what that truth is, the truth is not the Constitution. We have to know what that truth is, and I'm willing to share it here, but I'm just challenging you guys to tell me what it is, because we're all swearing to it, but if we don't know what it is, how can we swear to it? That's what I'm saying.
If you say the truth is not the Constitution, and you don't know the Constitution, then it really is a statement of ignorance. It's not a statement of knowledge.
No, it's not true. The truth is not based off the Constitution. The Constitution is based off the truth. The Constitution is not the truth.
Listen, the truth is self-evident. If you read the Constitution, it's consistent and it's self-evident, okay?
What is that self-evident truth? What is that self-evident truth?
Well, when you look at the truth, you know what truth is, okay? Because God.
What is that self-evident truth that we swear to?
What, in the Constitution?
No, I'm asking you, we swear an oath to the truth, the whole truth.
And yes, we
do not swear an oath to the Constitution, the whole Constitution, and nothing but the Constitution.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. It depends. Maybe they don't do it anymore. But I took an oath every day of my life when I was a child, with exception on the summertime and the weekends, because every day I went to school, we did a Pledge of Allegiance. That was an oath. We pledged allegiance to the flag and the republic that it stands for. You know, that is an oath that we take every day as just a people, because that's who we are as a people. But if you go and read the Constitution, if you go into Article 1 particularly, a lot of stuff in there is technical stuff on how Congress should act and how they vote for things and, you know, different things that are really just kind of informational and kind of rules for them to follow or statutes, so to speak, for them to follow and process, which we gave them the power to alter that to some degree, of course. And they do that through their rules, but they've abused that. Okay, but they will make changes in the Constitution by adding something to the Bill of Rights. But bottom line is there certain parts of the Constitution, like Article 1, Section 8, Article 1, Section 9, that are extremely important that you need to know. Because we limit the power of the authority of these people to write legislation. And the legislation they write is to control the people that work for government. Different government agencies, or the agents that are working, or the people that are employed, or the people that are elected, or the people that are appointed. Legislation is for them, to control them, to control their behavior, but never, ever, ever to control the behavior of we, the people. Therein is the problem with traffic court or any of these civil law courts. Okay, but for instance, we gave them the power to borrow money. Okay, it's a necessity. On the credit of the United States, to regulate commerce. We gave them the power to establish uniform rules of naturalization. We gave them the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof, to provide for the punishment of counterfeit, to establish post office and roads, to promote the progress of science, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, that's the federal district courts. There are 18 powers we gave them. If you knew these things, you would know where they're breaking the law. Because believe me, I'm telling you right now, 80% of what Congress has done, well, I can't really say 80% because there is a lot of great stuff up there. You know, they've written codes, 52 or 54. Let me take a quick look. I think it's 54. No, 57. There are 57 U.S. codes. Now, two of them have been voided. One is education, because they got rid of the Department of Education. Trump did, thank God. And there's another one. I forget which one it is. But for instance, the president is controlled by USC Title III. Okay? There's like 1,000 pages, okay, which gives the powers and the authorities of the president. And the powers and the authorities, if it's not written in there, he doesn't have it. But there are certain emergency powers that he has, which could go beyond the necessary written information, which becomes logical or obvious because it's self-evident. Maybe that because it's not there, he's got to have the power to do something. Okay. There is, for instance, there's U.S. Title 10, USC Title 10, and that controls the statutes and regulations for armed forces. So all these things are important, and they, you know, they're appropriate for Congress to write laws. Now, with that said, these laws have been written a long time ago, but they make some changes, and anything Congress has been doing actually in the last, let's say, I don't know, 60, 70 years, maybe more, okay, probably 80 or 90% of that, is things that they don't have the power or the authority to do. They didn't have the power or the authority to really create a Department of Education, to centralize that power and that authority. We never gave that to them. They just took it. Okay? And then they put put powers in here under one of the titles for the Department of Education. Well, we give no power or authority to create a Department of Education. The Department Education should be controlled by the people at the grassroots level. That's what, you know, it is true that the government should supply certain information on civics and different things, but other people, you don't have to be part of the government to bring forth a good structure of learning on a particular situation, like learning civics, learning the Constitution. As a matter of fact, I'd like to work with a lawyer I know, Brent Allen Winters. A lot of people know him. He's been involved with National Liberty Alliance for quite some time. And we discussed the possibility of writing books, textbooks, for K through 12. And we need to do something like that. Then it's up to the people to see the value of those textbooks and make sure they're applied within the schools for a proper education. Or maybe someone else put something together. It's a proper education in a school district. People of a school district over there want that instead of this. You know, that's the freedom and liberty of the people. But the people have to be educated in these things, and they're not. But if you're not educated in the Constitution, you don't know when they're violating their oath. You don't know when they're writing laws that they don't have the power or the authority to write. And the same thing with the courts. The rules of common law are clear. And they've made the rules, they've made civil law rules, okay, the rules of civil law. Okay, they've made their own rules. And those rules are destructive. Clearly they're not just. And again, truth is self-evident. It doesn't take long to figure out there's a problem. You know, if you listen to people teaching things or bringing things up, after a while either they're consistent or they're not. And you can see the harmony or you don't see the harmony. That's how you can see the truth is self-evident or not. And coupled, of course, with your knowledge or appreciation of justice in itself, because everything should be considered just or not. But I think it's a big mistake for you that you don't think that it's necessary to know the Constitution, because then you can't control these people. You don't know your powers. You don't know your authorities. You don't realize that we, the people, ordained and established the Constitution. They don't have the power to change these things, yet they do. Okay, they didn't change things without authority. The original 13th Amendment, they just discarded it. They put forth the 16th and the 17th Amendment, which was never ratified. And also, it is repugnant to the Constitution itself. It destroys the balance of power of the Constitution, particularly the 17th Amendment. And the 16th Amendment, goes right up against, that brings us into slavery, is what it does. It's called a direct tax. And clearly in the Constitution says you cannot have a direct tax. You can't directly tax people. You can't tax their heads, their income. You can't tax their property that they own. But they do. Why? Because people are ignorant. They don't know the Constitution. That's the problem. This Constitution is an amazing document. And if you really want to understand it, you know, you take your Constitution, read it through a few times, try to get an appreciation, mark off the things that you think are the most important. Some of it is technical stuff. It doesn't matter how they work that out. We don't care. But as far as their powers and authorities, that's the point we need to know about. And you go in and you get into the Federalist Papers and you read the points on the Federalist Papers. You know, in our books, we list out all of the different subject matters in the Federalist Papers. We give an access to those Federalist Papers right on National Liberty Alliance. So we lead people to the papers that they can read. We lay out the subjects that is covered in that, And that helps you to really come to an appreciation of things that you think are important to you. But if you don't know the law, okay, then we're in trouble. Heritage is in the law. Our heritage is in the law. And our inheritance is liberty. And if you don't know your heritage, you can't know all of your liberties, and you don't real and you don't really appreciate or understand that you are inherited that. It's a right. It's an unalienable right. You inherited that from God. People need to know these things. And if they don't know these things, therein is why we are where we're at. If people were properly educated, we never would be in the situation we are. The blessings of God would be 100-fold of what it has been. You know, God continues to bless America because his children reside here. And we do have the principles. It's the enemy destroying it. You know, like the Bible, God says, my people, they perish for lack of knowledge. Now, of course, he's talking about the Bible, but that is true also in a free and independent nation like the United States, one nation under God, indivisible. It's true there, too. We perish for lack of understanding, of knowledge. So, again, you know, bring up these issues more, whatever you want. We'll discuss them again next week, unless you want to make another point before we move to the next caller.
Yeah, I'll finish with this, and then I'll yield. The laws of God, the laws of right, and the truth long existed before anybody's Constitution.
Absolutely.
Long before anybody's Declaration of Independence, the Constitution is based off the laws of God, our rights, and it's based off of the truth of who is Jesus Christ. And that Constitution, what it's supposed to do, is record those, you know, those rights. And that's what our government, our public servants, and our bar lawyers are supposed to abide by, not by their laws. And I honestly, and I'm saying this with all complete sincerity, not to insult anybody, Joe or you, I do not know what common law is. I do not know the Constitution that you refer to, but I do know the laws of God, and I know the truth that he gave us, and he is the way, the life, and the truth. And I do not swear allegiance to the Constitution. I swear allegiance to my Savior, Jesus Christ. I swear allegiance to the innocent, and that's the writ of quo warranto. Is to, their job is to not issue warrants against the innocent. Their job is to issue warrants against those that victimize the innocent, and that's exactly, if you're going to court and you haven't violated a law of God, which is a right, then what they're doing is they're victimizing you. So I'll yield with that. I put no stock into the Constitution. I put no stock into their laws. I only put stock into the laws of Jesus Christ, and that's our rights that are God-given and given to each human at conception. And he gave them to Adam and Eve, and he's given them to every human being, and that is what I'm referring to. When I refer to the, you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, it's the laws of God and the truth. And the truth will set you free. And yes, the flag is something that binds us all, we the innocent people, together. The Constitution is supposed to bind all of us in America together. But the problem is that everybody here in America, we the innocent, we do not know that our public servants and our bar lawyers are literally waging a domestic war against we the innocent. And that's what I will yield with here. And I appreciate the chance, you know, for us to all to visit. I hope that I didn't offend anybody. I said that I would never correct anybody here. You said that you're going to correct me. I don't need correction. I don't need correction. I know who my Savior is. He's the one that's going to correct me. And so I don't mind. You're free to correct me and say what you want. I don't take offense to that. You're fine to do that.
Our laws is the laws of nature, and nature's God. So we agree with that. That's what
I don't agree with that. I agree that the laws of right are the law that God gave us at our conception. The first one, the very first law that should be in the Bill of Rights, the one that's missing, law number 0. Is the right to be born and live.
That's the right to be born and live, you know.
Can I finish?
Well, I'm just telling you that I agree with you on that. But go ahead.
I mean, I wanted to finish though. That should be the Bill of Rights. That should be zero. If you do not have the right to be born, you have no other right at all. You don't have the right to own anything. You do not have the right of free speech. You do not have the right of due process. And those people in the womb, they can't even sin. They're born into sin. They will sin. But they have that infant, until it reaches the age of accountability, it doesn't even have the ability to sin, and it doesn't have the ability to do a crime. So those are the people that our government has sanctioned murder, and what they've really done, the worst part about all of it is, they've sanctioned not fathers, but mothers, doctors, and corporations to slaughter these children and sell their baby parts on the marketplace. And that is the worst thing our government is doing. And everybody, every judge is okay with that particular law that they wrote and they sanctioned. They sanctioned that murder. That's worse than what the Germans did. And we had the Nuremberg trials. Everybody here was a hypocrite. All the different courts that got together and went after everybody over in Germany, the Nuremberg courts, they were a bunch of Pharisees and hypocrites judging somebody else. Well, we're doing way worse. We're sanctioning murder of the innocent, and we're selling their body parts on the market. We're slaughtering them like cattle. And nobody wants to go through here, and that's exactly why they're sanctioning murder, slavery, they're sanctioning larceny, they're sanctioning mass slavery, mass murder, and there should be nothing. We the innocent, should all be bonding together to put these guys. That is, treason is by definition a betrayal of we the innocent, and that's exactly what our government is doing. And not the military, not as of yet. They're not writing these laws, and they're not sanctioning these laws. We should be going to the military and saying, hey, we the innocent, everybody here needs to go through and punish those that go through in the courts and prosecute the innocent and sanction murder, slavery, etc. That's what I want to yield with.
Well, look, our founding fathers wrote these documents to bring all this together. All of this that you're talking about, these laws that are destructive, the allowance of abortion, and even some places it's gone to, you can even abort a child after they're born. I've heard of things of that nature, laws they're trying to get through on that. But you can abort a child, just days before birth. I mean, it's total insanity. It's destructive. It's unlawful, and these people get away with it only because of one reason, and one reason alone. We, the people, are ignorant to our founding documents, to the law of the land, okay? Because the law of the land, it talks about exactly what you're talking about. You're talking as an individual of what should be, and I'm telling our founding fathers have put this together already. They wrote, and this is we, the people, who ordained and established these things. We, the people, did it. And it says here, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if you go into the Bible, life is, even in the conception, is the beginning of life, but actually life really began in the mind of God, even long before we were born. The intention of an individual to be born into this world is already sanctioned by God. It's already in the mind of God. So again, we have to come together under something, not the words of men that haven't been well thought out, and maybe a little bit of here and a little bit there, and we miss this and we miss that. No, we go back to the founding fathers, who put a tremendous amount of time and focus in this. They were Christian. Most of the founding fathers were Christian. Okay, we all agree on Christian foundation. It all comes from the Bible. When we take a pledge of allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, that is the key, the republic for which it stands. We are a natural law republic. The laws of nature and of nature's God is what it is drawn upon. Our republic is created by and upon the laws of nature and of nature's God. And if it doesn't ring true with God, and it doesn't, harmonize with the word of God, then it doesn't belong in our laws. But the problem is they do what they want. They create laws. They create courts. They change the laws. They do whatever they want. They put people in jail. They punish people while they're in jail in all kinds of different ways. And they're just totally out of control because they're not governed by anyone. They're not controlled by anyone. But we, the people, can control them if we took control of it. And I said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 times more. It doesn't take, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And so about 150,000 people across America can take this nation back and restore the republic and make them focus, make them be obedient, and we can pull them out of office, we can indict them, we can do all kinds of things to these people who are destroying our nation and destroying people. We can fix it all. But it requires a proper education. It requires to know the law. And the law brings us right back to the Bible. So I'm not saying anything that's just created in the minds of men. No, this goes back to the Bible. The law is written in the hearts of men. And you can go and read in the Bible very specifically. You know, if a man steals your ox, you got to give him back 5 oxes or whatever the case may be. There are principles, and we can apply those principles. But you can't apply principles that you don't know. And that's why, you know, we are suffering because of ignorance. We are here because of ignorance. And this nation will be destroyed because of ignorance. Trump can give us this nation back. He can restore everything. And he's doing that. I do believe he's going to restore it all. And but like Benjamin Franklin said, can you keep it? Can you keep it? Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. If you're ignorant to these things, if you're ignorant to our founding documents, if you're ignorant to the law of the land, if you're ignorant to the principles of God, then you don't know nothing, and we just lose everything because we can't control these people. We have to apply the law upon them, and that's what we're trying to do here at NLA. And we're trying to get people, because one person can't do it. 10 people can't do it. But 150,000 people across America, which I think is, I forget what the number is, maybe it's 100 people or 50 people per county. Let's see, 3,000 counties, just roughly speaking, times 50 people, let's say. That's 150,000 people. If you had that going in let's say, 2/3 and more or more of the counties, and you had 50 people or more in those 2/3 of counties, we take the nation back as long as we have a rule book and a guideline. It's called the Constitution for the United States of America, which includes its capstone Bill of Rights and its foundation Declaration of Independence. And to understand that in a more deeper way and appreciation, you go look at the debates, and that's the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. It's all there for us to have if we want it. And it's us to have. And it's going to be given to us. It is going to be given to us. But I don't think the people can keep it.
Are you saying, John, that I'm ignorant and Joe's ignorant and you're the only one that's not? I'm really not sure what you're saying
well,
to me.
Well, I am saying that most people are ignorant. I've met very few people that aren't ignorant.
I'm specifically asking you, are you saying that I'm ignorant?
Well, you may think that you're ignorant if that's what you're getting from this. If you tell me,
no,
that
I'm asking you.
Are you stating
that I am ignorant and that Joe is ignorant or not?
Right now, you have told me that you don't know the Constitution.
No, I did not say that.
Oh, you didn't say that.
No, I said that you guys are both arguing about the Constitution, and I don't want to argue about the Constitution. I don't want to argue what it is. The laws of God and the laws of truth existed long before anybody's Constitution did. The law, the truth, and our rights existed, like you said, you know, before Adam and Eve. You know, God, you know, created us on a whim and gave us rights. And, you know, we didn't even have to worry about that except for the eighth, you know, of the tree of knowledge here. And so, therefore, you know, we were creatures of sin. And so crime existed because at that point in time, we wanted to violate the innocent. And that's Cain and Abel. And what I'm asking you is, I'm saying, are you saying that I'm ignorant of God's law and the truth, or and Joe is, and you're the only one that understands it, and because you understand the Constitution and we don't, I don't know what you're saying to me.
If you want to end up with that conclusion, it's not exactly what I'm saying.
A question is not a conclusion, John.
You asked me the question three times, and then you took the mic back. I'm trying to answer your question. Are you ignorant? You have to judge for yourself. I do believe that you were ignorant to the Constitution, because you said so in a numerous cases.
I'm not concerned about your beliefs, John. I'm concerned about whether or not you think I am ignorant or not.
Are you telling me you didn't say that? I mean, you can go back later and listen to the recording.
No, I'm asking you, do you think that I am ignorant, or you think that Joe is ignorant? Let me ask you a question.
Do you know the 18 powers we gave the Congress to make law? Do you know those 18 powers?
I don't care about that. I care about the truth, and I care about the laws of right. What I care about doesn't matter.
That's the problems that you complain about, okay? You're complaining about these judges. You're complaining about these legislators. Hold on a minute. You're complaining.
Don't accuse me of complaining. I'm not complaining.
Listen to me. You said you wouldn't get upset if I were to disagree with you and say that something that...
I'll tell you, I am not upset. I'm telling you, don't accuse me of complaining. I am not complaining. I'm asking you a question, and that's all I'm doing. I'm not complaining. I'm not upset.
Though is you can't complain about what they're doing in the courts. You can't complain what they're doing in the legislatures, you know, as far as the Congress and the Senate is concerned. You can't complain about any of those things if you don't understand what their powers and authorities are. Because if you understood that, and enough people understood that, we would have held them to the chains and tied them down with the chains of the Constitution, as Jefferson put it. We wouldn't permit them to write these laws. We would get there and we would nullify those laws. We would demand that the federal judge will nullify a law that is unlawful, that is repugnant to the Constitution, which is repugnant to the laws of God, because that's what our Constitution is written under. You see, if you're ignorant to those things, then I am saying you're ignorant. Ignorant in that fashion. You're not ignorant as a person. You may know a lot about the Bible and about God and have a good relationship. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about this nation, what we were built upon, and how we can take control of these people and require them to be obedient to that which we ordained and established. And they don't even appreciate the fact that we ordained and established it. They think that they can change the laws. They think that they can change the rules of common law. They think that they can control the people, that this is their courts. But only with enough people taking up the power and the authority through knowledge and getting involved in their counties can we take it back and stop them. Because, you know, these psychopaths, psychopaths constantly look for power and authority. And that's the highest power and authority in this nation, is to get into these government positions, elected into these positions, and then they execute their insanity upon us. Okay? And we can stop it all if the people are educated. Jefferson is clear about this. I have been totally convinced about this. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about. We're all about education. Every page. You could be up on our website for years, for decades, and not get through everything that we've put together on our website. There's so much things up there to look into, to explore, to learn, to see. We've laid out the most important stuff, but there's a far heavier education than that that we talk about and that we give opportunity to people, you know, the great books, okay? The Bible in itself is the most important, and that's a lifetime work to go through the Bible, and you're still not going to have it all to know the depths of God. But we will have what's necessary. God will reveal to us what's necessary. But yeah, I'm not saying you're ignorant as an ignorant person, but you are ignorant, in my opinion, from what I've heard, you're ignorant to the Constitution. You don't have the knowledge of it, so you can't tie them down to it. You don't know when they're breaking the law. Look, they don't have the authority to write the laws that they've written. The courts don't have the power or the authority to apply the things that they apply, to deny due process. They don't have that power. But they don't care what you do. They don't care what you say. There's nothing you could do it because you're one person here and one person there. But if we're 150,000 people, 50 people in every county, at least two-thirds, we would take them all down. We'd put them all in jail. We'd stop it, and we'd prevent it from happening. We'd get a proper education with our children, and not that which is so destructive and demoralizing. So, again, you know, we have to know the Constitution if we're going to fix the courts, if we're going to fix, because it's already there. All the tools we need is right here. I know because I've went through it. I was ignorant to this myself. It's only the past 15, 20 years that I've lost my ignorance to these things. There's still more that I have to learn. There's a lot more, I'm sure, you know, I may have some error here and there, because no man is without error. But I'm not ignorant to these things. But anybody who doesn't know these things, you're ignorant to those things. You know, I'm ignorant to a lot of sciences because I didn't study them. I have a basic knowledge of certain science, of different things, but I'm not a scientist. Anyway, next week you can bring up some other things. I'm interested in finding out who has told you you couldn't do something or somehow cause some problem in your county. I'd like to know what was going on there, because I don't know.
Are you talking about Joel?
No, wasn't it you? Oh, maybe it was Joel that brought that up.
That was Joel. Yeah, I'm...
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in hearing from him, too, because I'd like to know, then, who has made some statements that he claims was made.
He's got a page up there, and it's all of his stuff is gone. So that's what he's referring to. We did look up on the website there.
I'd like to know what was on that page.
Well, yeah, so would we, because that's why we looked.
Yeah, well, maybe he can get us a copy of what was on that page and we can look at it.
What I'm going to say to you, John, is you're fine with telling me that I'm complaining. You're fine to tell me that I'm ignorant. You're fine to tell me that I'm uneducated. I'm okay with that.
I'm not doing that as a whole of a person. I'm just
John, let me finish. That as you said, that's your opinion, and I'm not really worried about people's opinions. I'm very much worried about the truth and the fact that these guys are going through and they are literally raping / victimizing the innocent. That's how I know that they are breaking the laws of right. If you haven't violated a law of right and you're in a court system, they're victimizing you. And that is the definition of them, because they're betraying the innocent, and that is the writ of quo warranto and default. The writ of quo warranto, we the innocent give them the power and the authority to go through and prosecute people that violate and victimize the innocent, when you're an innocent person that's in the court and you haven't violated a right, they are violating you, and they are committing treason of the greatest magnitude, because they're literally sanctioned only to prosecute people that have violated a right, either with premeditation, with willful intent, or with extreme negligence. And if they have those three things, there's no way that you can commit a crime. So what they're doing is they're taking money from the innocent, which is larceny, and they're using their laws to take that money from the people. The word default, when it comes to the writ of quo warranto and default, means they've defaulted on that warrant. That warrant is never to be used against the innocent. It's only to be issued, and it's issued from we the innocent. And that's what I'm saying here tonight. And when you think I'm angry, John, I am not. I'm very passionate about the fact that we're being raped. My wife is right here.
Yeah.
I don't get angry at it anymore. I love everybody because I'm commanded to love everybody. I'm very passionate about the fact that we're being victimized by our publics. Every one of our public servants and every bar lawyer in America is victimizing we the innocent, and that's all I'm saying to everybody here.
Terry, we do have to move on. I appreciate
it.
I'd like to give them some time. But I just want to respond to one thing you just said, and just to make a note, and you can bring this up next week if you want. We could talk more. A writ of quo warranto is part of common law. A writ of quo warranto isn't available no more because they got rid of that with the Rules Enabling Act when the United States Supreme Court back in 1938 when they had put the rules out in 1938, they listed a bunch of writs, and the writ of quo warranto was one of those writs that they disconnected. The sovereign is no longer available to use that in their courts. And you see, therein is why we need to understand the law. We need to understand what the writ of quo warranto is and how it is part of the common law and how they just got rid of it. They just said, it's not there no more. And there's a number of writs, powers, and authorities of the people they just got rid of because they don't want to hear from you, and they don't want to hear from me. But with that, any more, we'll talk next week. I'd like to get a few minutes to the people that are left. So thanks, Terry, and we'll talk some more next week. Okay, let's take only a couple of minutes each person because I didn't realize how far lost we are. We only got a few minutes left. Ross, you got the mic, I think. Let's see if it's moving over. Okay, Ross, you got the mic. Ross, are you still there? Last call for Ross. All right, Anonymous. Don't have a name or a state. Anonymous, what's your first name and your state? You got the mic. We got a couple.
Thank you. Thanks, Don. This is Elizabeth in Arizona. First of all, I just want to say that the gentleman who just took up the whole time, it was very selfish of him to do that. And I'm actually taking the course, and I've got 2 minutes. Well, I'll just jump off because I'm a little bit disturbed about that.
It wasn't so much that person.
Can I just talk, please, since I only have about 30 seconds?
Okay.
What is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? The truth, for me, I learned. Is that I have to learn how to look at myself and repent of what I am a fallen human being, and I can dress up for Jesus and I can be the biggest hypocrite, but I had the that never really worked for me. I'm telling you though that the Bible, God will give us instruction after repentance, and so it's not just the truth about what other people are doing. And all of that. And ignorance is not stupidity. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. That's why I'm on this this course. But I also know that, some people just aren't cut out for this, and they're going to struggle their whole time. And the gentleman who is just on, he has a lot of passion. I could hear the love he has for people. But, for me, my biggest obstacle is me. And not other people. So I really wish, John, you had an hour a week for people who are on the course because, there needs to be a forum, I suppose, for people who need to, take all the time. So, sorry, I sound bitter. I'm really, please forgive me. I'm just really, I was looking
for... Listen, we used to do 3 hours, but it just became too much for many of us. We couldn't start too early, because people on the West Coast have a different time.
The thing is that the gentleman who was on before him, he's angry and scared too. And that's the thing, anger is actually fear and pain. And
that's why I kept the conversation on both those individuals. I let them have a lot of time because I saw there was a lot of things we could discuss and a lot of things that would be helpful to the people that are listening. And
but it wasn't helpful. It was not helpful. All it was like they're not interested in the Constitution. Fine. They don't understand that God gave us that Constitution and the Declaration.
My short lectures, concerning what we were talking about with both of those individuals, that was a lot that people could learn from. I tried to lay out a lot of things and principles and situations and who we are as a people.
Sir, he was framing the whole conversation with rhetorical questions that you would not be able to answer.
Well, I understand that. That's why
So what that does is it blocks me and other people. I don't know. I'm going to speak for myself. It blocks me from being able to hear what you say because there's tension on the call. And, I'm upset right now, and I need to take care of that by myself and come back to the call when I'm all right. And I would invite that gentleman to do the same because we're all in pain. That's why we're here. We're all losing something. And, I'm sorry, but yeah, I just wish there was a call for people who actually are on the course, and then we could have a different, whole different conversation.
So again, this is what this, you know, we should spend more time on those subjects that people have questions or concerns or different things about the course. And we've got lots of courses and lots of things we could discuss.
Right.
And I prefer those conversations more than any other conversations.
Well, some of us have questions, though, because we're actually doing the course. That's all. That's all, you know.
All right. Well, we'll talk some more. And we'll see.
All right. I hope you have a good evening. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Okay, we've got one other person left, so we'll give them a few minutes before we close down. Jeff, you got the mic. What's your state, Jeff?
I'm in Pennsylvania, John.
Pennsylvania. Okay, I know Jeff from Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
And the lady that spoke is quite correct. All of us are in pain, a great deal of pain. One of the questions I have is your 845 phone number isn't working anymore.
Right.
You discontinued that or whatever. I tried calling it, but I couldn't get through.
Well, let me think about that. I know I did see an email on that, and it was the
Sue Williams email.
Let me go back to see if I still have that, because you know a lot of things changed, and we had to change services. And I don't think that we lost that number, because I think it's the same people that have given me the fax number that we use. I have an online fax number, and I think it's the same people that have control of that phone number. I'll have to look into it, you know?
Oh, okay. But anyway, Sue said you were going to call, or somebody from NLA was going to give me a call. This concerns the concerted effort by Berks County to steal my home on May 26th, and I'll try to keep it short because I'm exhausted myself.
I believe on the position of these non-judicial foreclosures. And even if they make a law, they're still breaking the law, the real law. And we've written papers on that, and I'm pretty sure we forwarded a copy of those papers to you concerning, you know, which is a position, and showing them that they're, that it's unlawful for what they're doing, that the whole thing is a fraud.
Yeah, that goes back a few years. Yes, you did.
No, recently I thought we sent you something, unless it was someone else we sent it to. I don't recall. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a paper to read that will give you insight and information to be able to make a position within the court?
Well, there's one thing here. They're attacking from two positions, from two separate areas. Number one, they're trying to tax sale my home. And the first issue is that they filed a lawsuit against me for back taxes. And they're charging $40,000 interest. If the whole thing is completely illegal, but to keep it short, on May 6th, there was an issue of fraud on the court in which the county proffered false evidence before the court to try to take my home. They were caught in the act of defrauding the court. I filed a show cause order as to why Berks County should not be held in contempt of court for committing fraud on the court. There was a hearing scheduled in April that was postponed. It went up to May 26th. And then because I'm on oxygen 24 hours a day, we had to do this remotely through the computer. I requested a continuance because there were two issues and they shouldn't be combined and given only 10 minutes to resolve this. That was denied. I wasn't allowed to speak. I wasn't allowed to present evidence. The judge even said on the and this is official, that it wasn't a hearing, it was a determination. It was just a rape like nothing I've ever seen before. She threw out the entire issue of the fraud on the court. That was okay with her so long as the county had withdrawn the tax sale. But they were going ahead with a separate lawsuit. And now she's issued two orders.
Did you demand a trial?
That's the one issue, because I've been so sick. I've missed doing certain things, and I'm going to have to demand a trial by jury.
Absolutely. And now look, at education is the key. There's a lot of issues involved in what you're talking, and you have to think about every one of them. You have to have a position about every one of them so that you can destroy their side, and you can destroy their side. But again, it takes a lot of thought. It's, you know, I look at these things as puzzles, you know. All knowledge is really puzzle. You puzzle things together. Yeah, that you're puzzled to understand this, and you're puzzled to understand that, and then you puzzle to put them together. And that's how I look at everything that I do, you know, educational-wise. And that's what law is constructive. And you can beat every position that they bring up if you really study. You know, a lot of things that will be helpful is to read the memorandums. I've written about 30 or more, maybe 40 memorandums. If you read those memorandums, you'll pull a lot of information, a lot of things, and a lot of positions out of that. Also, a lot of the cases we wrote particularly, and you can get a copy of the non-judicial foreclosures under the federal court cases that we put together. You also, by reading a lot of these court cases, other court cases like Marbury versus Madison, again, you know, you have to spend a lot of time, you got to spend a lot of reading, and you got to take notes and pull things out, extract things from the things that you're reading as you're going along. You got to make, first of all, you got to look at your case, and you got to see all the positions they have, and you got to do that by bullet point, and then you got to make positions to destroy each one of those bullet points and uphold and raise up your position, which would be in opposition to what they had put together that's in those bullet points. That's how you work out a case, and that takes a lot of time to do. I can give you places and things to look at and think about and read, you got to put it together, and that's difficult for people who haven't really spent a lot of time in these things. You know, I think I write very good court cases, but the only reason I write very good court cases is because I spend a lot of time in research and pulling these things together and making notes and writing memorandums, and I can draw off memorandums. I even wrote a few books that are very helpful for court. Let me see, if you go to books by John Duresh under the welcome, there's one book particularly that's extremely important in my opinion. I wrote it for myself. I had used it myself for many, many years, and I thought, hey, maybe I should put this up in a handbook, okay? So we got the Common Law Handbook right here by John Duresh. Let's see if this is the right one. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, 311 pages. It's a pretty powerful book, in my opinion, a handbook, and it's very helpful, okay? And I think... Also, just the Common Law Handbook on its own over here is good. But the court handbook is good for being in court and things you can pull off the fly because you can find things very quickly. I wrote it it's almost like, it's almost bullet-pointed information in court cases that hold a position on whatever the bullet-point position is. And so it's very helpful in court. And the Common Law Handbook, let me take a quick look at that. That might be helpful, too, I think. And I've written so much sometimes. Yeah, those two books particularly help you a lot in the court, in my opinion. But memorandums, if you go to, I have memorandums in my books. I got a book called just Memorandums of Law. We got a lot of memorandums in the book Government by Consent. You can find the memorandums on our website here under Education. Let me see if we have... I know we did a lot of memorandums in audio and video. Topical, no. I know in here you'll find... If you go through here and just click through things, and you'll start to find things that you can draw off of and read and use to build your position. Black's Law is a very important book. You can download that. That's a dictionary because
I've got that. Yes.
Yeah. With Black's Law, it's so powerful because they give you Supreme Court cases that back up the points or the understanding of a word or a phrase or whatever the case may be that you're doing. So it's very, very powerful.
I just have a question. I have one person is advising me to pull the whole thing into federal court, to remove it to federal court, and I'm lost on that issue, but I've got different advice coming as to what course I should take on this, especially the way this the system is operating. It's just I'm just nothing.
Before you take it into federal court, you have to make the positions of your case so that you can get the evidence to take it into a federal court, and then you can have them cease and desist order from the federal court. If you bring in an issue to the federal court and it's an issue that they don't have the ability to make a decision on, that one thing that you bring into that court will throw the whole case out.
Right,
because
right.
They really look to throw cases out, okay? And just bring in one point that they don't have the power, the authority to decide on, and you lose it. So it has to be a constitutional issue. You know, for instance, denial of due process.
That's one.
Case, okay? So that's one thing. And there's so many things involved with the denial of due process. I mean, the right of a trial by jury in itself it would be a denial of due process. So you got to make the case in your court case, your demand for a trial by jury, and then when they deny you, they just denied you due process. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that they're doing is a denial of due process, but you have to put it together, bullet point them, make the points, bring your information together, and what you are doing really is planning. Whenever I write a case, I'm always planning for the appellate, for the appeal, or to take it to the federal court for cause. I'm always thinking about that. So I'm already positioned for it as I'm writing my case. And I already know at this point a lot of things they're going to say or do or whatever. I already know how they operate. And so it's a little easier for me maybe because I've seen it so much.
I don't doubt that.
But it takes time. You just got to put a lot of time into it. That's the key. But remember, you got any of my books?
No, unfortunately, I don't, John.
Well, Government by Consent might be the best one to get because it's 550 pages. It covers a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of memorandums in that one. But you can find memorandums on, here, for instance, here under federal court cases, on the right side of our website here. You're on a phone, so you're not seeing this. But underneath on a blue bar right side, you'll see federal court cases. And if you highlight that, you can come down to a grand jury docket. I think we have a lot of information on that. You know, here's writs, different writs we've written. You can read through them. You can read through them. Here's a bunch of memorandums of law. Okay, right on this one page, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. We got 23 of them. I think I've written close to 40, if not 40, memorandums of law. But there's, you know, you look at this and see which ones apply to you. For instance, Memorandum of Law and Equity. They're applying a lot of equity upon you, which is statute and regulations, and they're applying their rules that they've written. So right here, the Memorandum of Law and Equity, you can really draw a lot out of this one for your case, okay? Foreclosure, memorandum non-judicial foreclosure right there. You can draw a huge amount, and you can show the fraud because that's what this memorandum does. It shows that the whole thing is a fraud, okay? Let's see what else. A court of record, okay? You can demand a court of record, and there's a lot of stuff in this memorandum of court of record that you can draw upon to put the proper language into the court case to make your case very clear on what you want and what you demand. Okay, let's see what else in here. The abrogation of the law of land, I don't know, you could use, there's a lot of stuff you can draw out of here, you know. And this is kind of easy because you can cut and paste, because this is all in Word, it looks like. Yeah, I think this is in Word, it is. So you can cut and paste a lot of this stuff right out. And but again, what you want to do is take your case, go through everything that they've written or placed upon you, create bullet points of the positions that they have, and then start to create your defense against it.
Okay.
So
that's a lot to do.
It is a lot. Look at that's why we should look at people should be working on this whether they're in court or not, because one day you may end up in court, and you don't want to go to any of these vultures that are just going to rob your money, and they don't care whether they win or lose anyway. They just want your money. But people, no one knows your case better than you do, and no one can defend it better than you can. I think if they came upon you telling you, you know, trying to indict you for, you know, a crime like murder or something like that, then that might be a kind of a situation where you really want someone else to run the case for you, but you want to be very much involved and you want to approve or disapprove their position and thinking or anything they want to bring up in the court. So you have to be involved with the lawyer at that point. But anything other than that, they'll tell you, well, only a fool will represent themselves. I say, and I'm absolutely convinced, only a fool will get a lawyer to represent them. That's my absolute extreme 100% position. Because these people, they're all in the same thing. I mean, they're all working together. They're all part of the status quo, and they back each other up, and it's all about making money off of you.
Against the American people, it's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, we got to close down. If you want to talk, we could talk some more next week, but you got a lot of homework to do. I've tried to give you as much as I could. There's a lot on the website. The key things to look at, is under Education Starts Here, okay? And then you go to Federal Court Cases. That's on the blue bar, okay? Go through a lot of things in there. And in Federal Court Cases, you come down to Grand Jury Docket, okay? And that's where a lot of these information that I was talking about, the memorandums, the position, how to move for cause, all kinds of information in cases. There's a lot you can learn from there. Okay?
Okay, John.
All right. We're going to end our program. Thanks a lot, Jeff. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.